If you'll turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4, I want to ask you a question. Who are you, really? I want you to think about that while we read God's Word. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 4. What did I say, 4? I'm sorry. Got ahead of myself. I want to thank Pastor Rod for asking me to do this. I haven't been behind the pulpit in over a year. A little bit nervous, so God will take care of it, okay? Amen. Ephesians 2, beginning in verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. And raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, in order that in the ages to come we might show the surpassing riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Jesus Christ. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And may God bless the reading of His Word. Let's pray. Father God, we come before You this morning, Father, with Your Word before us, with the instructions before us, but most of all with Your love before us. Father, we thank You and we praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. Who are you, really? Think about it. There's a catch to it, and I'll get to it a little bit later, okay? Oftentimes we look at people around us on a surface level and don't always take time to see the hidden beauty that's within them. But we don't always value what God values, do we? But if we were to take the time to peer beneath the surface, we may find a great treasure. Lonnie said I could use him as an example this morning, and here's the catch. I know Lonnie because I've known him since he was 8 or 9 years old. I could tell you things about Lonnie that you'd probably like to hear. And I could tell you some things about Lonnie that he don't want you to know. And I'm not going to tell you. I can tell you a little bit about Fred sitting over here. Fred said I could use him as an example too, as long as he didn't have to say nothing. Fred knew me before I let Jesus into my heart. He knew what kind of a person I was. But Fred still loves me as a brother, and I love him as a brother. I could tell you about his wife, too. Not as much as I could tell you about Fred, but I can tell you she's the same age as I am. We have a birthday that's pretty close. But who are you, really? What do you know about the people sitting around you that's not your family? What do you know about them? We're supposed to be God's family. You know everything about your family, right? What do you know about God's family? I want to start by telling you a little story about my youth. But first I want to make a statement here. I believe that God, and it's true of God, when God created you, created me, every one of us here, when He created us, He needed something done on earth that He wanted you to do. And He designed you to do it better than anybody else. You believe that? You believe that? Years ago, when I was a little guy, about 7 or 8, we had 4 railroad tracks that run through our yard. It was our town, getting ahead of myself again, and it was crazy. About halfway through town, 2 tracks went off to the northwest, 2 tracks went off to the northeast, and right between them tracks was a little 3-room house. There was a little old lady lived in that track, and I'm estimating she was about 70 when I was 7 or 8, that all of us called High Pockets. Every one of us that ran around together called her High Pockets. And the word High Pockets wasn't a put down. Really, it wasn't. It was a nickname we gave her because everybody had a nickname back then, and she accepted it. She enjoyed it. She got that name because she wore an apron, and I brought an apron to show you what I'm talking about. It's got a top on it, but I ain't going to use the top. She wore her apron up here like this, and it had 2 great big pockets. That's where she got the name High Pockets. And we loved her to death. We were always hanging around with this lady. Back then, you could turn in a pop bottle for a nickel, or a quart beer bottle made out of glass for a dime. And she was always walking around town picking up these bottles, putting them in them big pockets. That's why we called her High Pockets. She was something else. And all of us that ran around together, we about 2 or 3 times a week, we were always helping her pick up bottles, giving them to her. We grew up thinking, I guess, that was the only way she had money to buy her food or whatever she needed, and we helped her as much as we could. I was in the Navy when she passed away, so I didn't hear about it until I got home, and one of my friends told me about her death. But they also told me something that was very interesting about her that none of us actually knew. She had no relatives, no children, nothing that anybody knew of. So when she passed away, they tore her little 3-room house down. Okay? And when they started tearing it down, they found newspapers stacked up in her house. Daily newspapers, every one was there for 20 years. And when they started throwing these papers away, money started falling out of the papers. She had put thousands and thousands of $1 bills in those newspapers, and they were all pressed so nice and neat over the years. She was worth thousands of dollars, but her treasure remained hidden and unused. I'm convinced today, folks, that Christians don't realize the treasure hidden in them. I'm convinced of that. And if they aren't careful, they'll end up just like High Pockets, not using the treasure that we have. 2 Corinthians 4:7 tells us that we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God and not from ourselves. God lives in us, folks. God lives in our hearts. He lives in our bodies. And what a treasure we have that we need to utilize in doing good works for Him, as His Word says. That same power that recreated us when we accepted Jesus into our life as Lord and Savior empowers us to do the good works that God has prepared for us ahead of time. Think about it. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us if anyone, and that little word anyone doesn't leave anybody out, does it? If anyone is in Christ, they're a new person. The old has passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Too many people today, Christians I'm talking about, feel like they have nothing to offer God. They don't have a very good purpose in life other than to just live life day by day by day by day. But if you've accepted Christ in your life, if you've become a new creation by God's hand, He's given you a purpose in His kingdom. Believe it. He's given every one of us a purpose. We have our own purpose. We have our own job from the Lord, okay? God doesn't do something for nothing, folks. I know. I was one of those people until I said, okay, Lord, I'll do whatever you want. The truth is, God has something for each one of us right now, and it's called good works, as the Bible says, or divine opportunities, another way to put it, and it's found in your God-given purpose in life. And what I'm referring to are the goals and visions that burn deep down in your heart, those things that always come to mind. Oh, man, I don't know why I didn't do that. I sure wish I could do that. I had a chance to do something, and I blew it. I had that feeling when I was 8 years old. I really did. I had that feeling that I was supposed to do something in the kingdom of God. You know what I did? I pushed it back until I was 41 years old. 41 years old. September the 21st, 1981, right here in this church, when I let Jesus come into my heart and forgive me of the life I'd lived up until I was 41 years old. I don't know if Fred would want to tell you, but he can tell you a whole lot about my life before I met Jesus. That purpose deep down in your heart, to me, is our spiritual DNA, folks. That's the DNA God put in us. The very blueprint of who God created. And it's that purpose that He created in us that doesn't drive us in our life. It draws us closer and closer to our Lord and Savior. Who are you, really? Not really, who are you? Who are you, really? I'm not talking about your name. I know most of your names. Some I don't know, and I'll admit it. I'm not talking about your gender. Everybody can see whether you're a man or a woman, right? I'm not talking about your genealogy. I've been doing mine here lately, and I found out things way back in the 1400s. That wasn't true what I was told when I was growing up. I ain't who they said I was. But that's beside the point. The question is, what's your God-given purpose in life? Who are you? So how do we know our purpose is from God and what that purpose is? God gives everybody a purpose, folks, when they accept Christ in their life. If you've got Jesus in your life, you've got a purpose for God. Because Jesus said the Holy Spirit's going to come into your life to help you recognize and use that purpose. He said the Holy Spirit's going to come to help us after He left, right? So, but maybe today you've been lured away from God's purpose in your life by the world. Don't lose heart. The Bible tells us that He knows us from creation, folks. In fact, in Isaiah 49:16, it says that God says, "Behold, I have inscribed you on the palm of my hand." Isn't that neat? God knew us before the creation of the world, and He had our names written in the palm of His hand. That makes me feel pretty good. God has a purpose for you. He has a purpose for me. So how do we recognize our purpose? How do we know that it comes from God? How do you know? As I was preparing, I was reading a book by a pastor about some of the stuff that was going on in his life, and he just happened to list 6 ways we can know what God's purpose is in our life. The very first thing he said was that God's purpose in your life is bigger than you. It's bigger than you. The second thing was you'd be willing to give everything you have to have it. The third thing he says, you know in your heart it'll last forever. That's pretty neat. Number 4, it meets a need in you that nobody else can do. It meets a need in you that nobody else can fill. Number 5, you can't let it go. It's always there. Here, here, or here. It's always there. And number 6, it brings glory to God. And I've come to the conclusion, if we could manage our purpose in life that God has given us, it's not big enough. It's not big enough. But Paul said, take heart. Because he said, I can do all things through Christ who lives in me. And we can too, for the kingdom of God. I realize after 41 years that it's a terrible thing in life to grow old and realize that you wasted months, years, or even decades chasing something that wasn't your God-given purpose in life. My wife's back there shaking her head. Yeah, I know. She knows my purpose in life. She knows what I'm supposed to be doing. Because when God touched, God had already touched her heart when He touched my heart. And she watched the transformation when God put a purpose in my life. Took me 43 years, folks, to realize my God-given purpose in life. It took me 43 years to really realize who I was. It took me 43 years to allow God to come into my life and show me the purpose for which He created me, and that was to preach His Word. For 30 years in 3 churches, I preached God's Word, and I never had so much enjoyment and fun in my life as I did doing God's work. I've met some of the most fantastic, some of the craziest, some of the wildest people that ever walked the face of the earth, and they all belong to God. We can have fun as Christians. We don't have to be a whole stick in the mud. I always tell everybody, if you don't think God has a sense of humor, come and stand up here and look at all these funny faces. God has a great sense of humor, folks. Let me give you a few examples from the Bible about people who took years to find God's purpose for their lives. I wasn't the only one. There were some that come before me, and they're in this book. They're in that book. Abraham. Think about Abraham. He was able to leave his father and his friends and go to a new land. He had no idea where he was going. because he recognized God's purpose for his life late in years. Joseph was able to endure persecution, imprisonment, and lying about him because he had a God-given purpose in life. Moses. Think about Moses. Moses was willing to leave the palace and the riches of Egypt. The riches of the world at the time, because he had a God-given purpose at age 40. David confounded the giant and led a nation to greatness because he had a purpose that God gave him. Stephen took the stoning because he lived his purpose. Paul was shipwrecked, beaten, and stoned, but he continued because he had a God-given purpose in life. And best of all, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, was willing to leave his home in glory and come to a world that hated him. He was able to endure the cross, endure the shame, the whipping, the crown of thorns. Why? Because he had a purpose that all who would accept him would live with him forever. Who are you, really? Jeremiah 29:11 says, God says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Now, I've got a couple of little steps that we can look at to discover our purpose that God has given us. Number one, get alone with God. Get alone with the Lord. How many times do you get alone with the Lord, say, for a week? Don't answer. Think about it. A reason I believe in our fast-paced society today, people never discover their purpose in life, is they never stop long enough to listen to God. I had that problem for a long time. I was always too busy. Always had things to do, places to go. Your God-given purpose in life is of no use unless it's discovered, folks. When I was little, I always watched cowboy movies, and there was always somebody digging for gold, and I wanted to go find gold. Gold, gold! You watch that movie on TV, that guy goes out, finds gold in Alaska. He's got a place right down here in Fairplay, and that's his thing. Gold, gold, gold! Him and his daughter go gold hunting all the time. But you know what? Gold is useless unless you mine it out of the ground. And our God-given purpose is useless unless we discover it. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. Step two, review your gifts and talents. Because God's Word says in Romans 12:6, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given us, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given us, let each exercise them accordingly, according to the portion of his faith. Who's given you his grace? God has, right? Who's given you your faith? God has. God given me the faith to believe in something I can't see, but I can feel it. Romans 10:7 said, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Wow. Not only does God pour out his grace upon us when we give our lives to Christ, but he also gives us the faith to believe. I've had a few discussions about this, about your talent and your gifts. How many of you can tell me that when, where'd that little guy go? Okay, well, I was going to use him as an illustration. Oh, I'll use those little guys back there. No. Shaking his head, no. How many of you, when you were as little as their grandson, or the age of these two little guys, knew what your purpose in life was? Tell me. How many of you knew what talent you were going to have when you grew up? Huh? You'll have people all over the world to argue with you on that point. But God gives us our talents and our gifts, folks. And he uses them for his kingdom. We didn't choose them. He gave them to us when he created us. And fulfillment only comes in life when we use those gifts and talents in serving that purpose that he gave you. Step 3, review your life experiences. I think most of us here, except a couple little ones, are old enough to have had a few life experiences in our life, haven't we? My beautiful little niece back there had an experience I wish I had. She went to Alaska for a whole summer. And just drove around in a big bus taking people to look at the wonders of Alaska. I've always wanted to do it. Never did it. It's one of those things that pushed behind me. See, I was born in the age when you could go to Alaska and homestead. And I always wanted to do that too. But I never had enough nerve to pack up and go. If I had, I wouldn't have met my beautiful wife. Because I was too old to go then. But she still let me in her life. Romans 8:28 says, We know that God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. God will take your life experiences, your talents, and your gifts and use them to bless you, folks. But on the same thing, the devil will try to use those things to destroy you or hinder you for the kingdom of God. You've got to know who you are. We need to understand that not all things are good, but all things, it says, will work for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Step 4, decide what's really important in your life. What's really important in your life? 1 Corinthians 10:23 states it this way, all things are lawful, but all things are not profitable. Some things are not necessarily bad, folks, in our lives. But they just waste your time to fulfill your God-given purpose in life. Christian people, God's people, need to learn to eliminate the non-essential and the space takers in their lives. Because no matter where you are today, all we need to do is reach out and invite the Lord right into the middle of the situation we're in, and He said He would be there. And we need to remember that nothing is so great in the world that our God is not greater. There's nothing impossible to those who believe and are called according to His purpose. When our Lord Jesus was on the cross, His purpose for being there, what was His purpose for being there? Because He had all the power of heaven and earth available to Him, it says. With one word, He could have called all the angels down from heaven to rescue Him. But He chose to fulfill His purpose to remain on the cross so that you and I could have the same power living in us through the Holy Spirit that He promised us. Isn't it amazing, if you really think about it, that He allowed the soldiers to kill Him so that you and I could fulfill our God-given purpose and receive eternal salvation and the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives? He allowed Himself to be broken so that we might live life and live it more abundantly. And He wants us to do something new in our life today. That doesn't mean everything will be smooth and easy. I know better than that. But it does mean that He'll give you the strength you need to accomplish and achieve the purpose that He desires for you. Who are you? What's your purpose in life? What's your God-given purpose in life? What do you know about your brothers and sisters? I've always been told, since I went into ministry in 1983, that one way to recognize your talents and gifts that God has given you is through other people pointing them out to you. And how can that take place if we know nothing about each other? I'm not pointing a finger at you, because if I point a finger at you, I got three pointing back at me. I'm just as bad as everybody else about knowing who you are and what your purpose in life is. God loves every one of us. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what you look like. Doesn't matter what you wear. He loves every one of us, and He gave every one of us a purpose in life. A purpose that will glorify Him and bring people to Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in these fast-paced times in our world today, I'm so thankful I have Your Holy Spirit to lead me, Lord, in what I do. I'll meditate on Your Word, that I will know Your will and knowledge in my heart. I know, Father, that You have a plan for my life, for everybody's life here today. And we need to recognize the tactics of the enemy so we do not fall prey to them, so we can fulfill that purpose. I'll pursue peace with every person, and I'll forgive others and be obedient to Your Word as You tell us. I will, to the best of my ability, follow Your plan and purpose for my life, and I'll pray for these to do the same. Father, I thank You for these that have come. I ask that You bless them, help them understand the purpose that You created them in this life for. But most of all, Lord, help them if they don't know Jesus, to know what it means to have Him in their life. I pushed you back for 41 years, Lord, and I'm so glad you never gave up, because I thank you and praise you for giving me the kind of life I live. But most of all, I thank you for your Son, Jesus, who made it all possible. And I thank you and praise you in His name. Amen. We're going to stand and sing a hymn of invitation for a couple of minutes. We're not going to lollygag. We're only going to sing two stanzas. I asked Tom just to do two, unless somebody wants to talk about what it means to have Jesus in their life. Let's stand and sing.